Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. And I'm Deb Scott, your host, and we have an amazing, amazing, internationally recognized guest tonight for you. You're going to learn so much. You're going to walk away. You're going to want to replay this show and recycle these mind vitamins and the happiness and the thoughts and the new ideas that you can use in your everyday life. And that's what this show is about, is bringing you the best people, places, things, resources, and practical tools that you can use to bring your life in and be the best person that you were created to be. We're all here for a reason, and it's up to us to make sure that we sparkle our unique shine. If you read any of the coming attractions for our guest, Soul Dancer is an internationally recognized published author of Pay Me What I Am Worth. He's not only schooled in social work and has many degrees, he has practical experience in application. He does workshops all over the world. He's won numerous awards. He's changed people's lives, and he's here to help us be our best so that we are worth everything that we were designed to be. So welcome to the Best People We Know show.
Well, aloha, Deb, and mahalo. A big thank you for inviting me on. I'm excited.
Well, I just love what you're about. And, you know, there's certain people in this world that we meet that walk their talk, that live an authentic life, and are making a difference. And, you know, I love the talking head sometimes. You know, I'm a biology major at heart, and I love the science of it all, and I love those studies. But, you know, I really have a deep respect and admiration for people that have actually put it into practice and have stories to share of, okay, this is the before and this is the after. And that's what you do. You make a difference in the world where you go, and that's why I'm just so honored that you're taking your time out of your busy schedule, being in Hawaii, to meet with us and tell us about what you do, who you are, and how you're making the world a better place, and how you're going to help us tonight do that, because I know you will. You always do, Saul.
Oh, my gosh. That's a pretty good list. I'll do my best here.
Well, I have up on the chat room for everybody to know. So I have Saul's book, and I have his websites, and he has some great resources, and it's not just one place. But yeah, just tell us a little bit about your inspiration and what you're doing, and then we can get into some practical examples, I think, you know, of how to bring us so that we are paid what we're worth in the spiritual, the financial, the mental, the emotional, the relationship, all those areas of our life, so that, you know, we can be the whole person and be happy and peaceful and enjoy our own company. So take it away, Saul.
Oh, my. Well, let me just set the stage. I often think of my life as a great big garden, a huge, huge garden, acres and acres and acres of land where all sorts of stuff is planted. Most of the time, I have no clue what's planted, what's growing, what needs tending, what are weeds, what are seeds that need to go into the ground. And I look at Pay Me What I'm Worth as becoming a master gardener of your own life, becoming that person that is so attentive to their own garden. They know what to water, what not to, what to pull, what not to, when to harvest, when to allow the growth to continue. And this book is really all about, who are you? I mean, Deb, you've heard this, the old saying before, know thyself, right?
Oh, yes. Can't know anybody else. You can't expect anybody else to enjoy your company if you don't enjoy your own and know who you are. You know, gotta begin with the me first.
What do you think's behind that question?
Yeah, I really think that is the first question to ask ourselves in the silence of our own our own thoughts and asking, you know, why am I here? What inspires me? What motivates me? What do I feel passionate about? What am I doing when the time passes and I don't even see the time passing? What makes me smile? What do I do that no matter how long I do it, I never tire of it? And I think knowing the things that I don't like, the things that are destructive to me, the things and the people and the places that are not only healthy, that are bringing out my best attributes, but knowing the things to stay away from, knowing those things that are toxic, and loving myself enough to say, you know what, I'm worth more than that to be in that situation that's unhealthy, and I'm worth taking a risk to see what that garden will grow into. If I give it all of the ingredients to nurture it, to be the best it can be. So it should really be an opportunity every day to embrace who we are. And I think there's nothing greater. I think that's why it lasted so long. Know thyself. So important because when you are confident and comfortable in your own skin suit, you don't have to apologize or worry about what anybody else is thinking because you have that peace and serenity and solid, sure footing that who you are is authentic and worth being. And then you don't have to try to duplicate being somebody else. And that, to me, is really knowing oneself.
Yum. Now, I'm curious. When you attain a fairly good awareness of who you are, would you imagine that you would inspire people?
I think it's a natural a product of that. I think that if we are inside shining the light of who we are meant to be, it's like the sun. It naturally shines without any effort. So I think the great news in being paid what we're worth because we know what we're worth, and that's in all areas of our life, is that if I'm doing what I'm meant to do, the natural result of that, the natural byproduct, is going to be shining that light and that inner peace and confidence and goodness and empowerment to all those that I come in contact with. And I think that's why when you're doing the right thing for the right reason, you know, a lot of people will tell me when I'm working, well, it just seemed to happen by accident. You know, it just seemed to happen. Well, I don't know why that happened. I just didn't even have to try and it happened. That's a sign. That's a sign that you're doing the right thing for the right reason because it's not an accident. No accidents, so they're all divine appointments.
I completely agree. Completely agree. And see, I'm setting you up because I want you to think of a person that you admire. I want you to think of someone that inspires you. And that person is of this planet. In other words, they're still walking around. It's not some historical figure. Can you get that person in your mind?
Yes, I can. I can think of some. Yes, I have a real life example right now, and I hope the listeners are doing this with us. We're all going to do these practical exercises together so that it becomes real for us, and we know that it's possible. So this is a great opportunity. And yes, the answer is yes. I have that person.
Great. So for those listening in, no matter where you are, stop for a minute and seriously think of a person that inspires you. They're of this planet. They're still alive, and they totally inspire you. In fact, you may even admire them. Inspiration and admiration are a couple of cozy friends. So I want you to think about the notion of this person coming up to you or sending you an email or calling you up, writing you a letter. They're contacting you in some form or fashion, and they have a job for you to do. And the job that they want you to do is one that you know you can do. I mean, one of the reasons why this person inspires you and you admire them, it may be very well along the lines that you know that they would never ask you to do something you couldn't do. They would never set you up to fail. So I'm curious, Deb, the person that you're thinking about, and for all those listening, the person that you're thinking about, could you see that person who inspires you setting you up to fail?
Absolutely not. No, not with my choice of mentorship here. Absolutely not. Only, it's all about goodness, all about goodness.
Okay, so next step, you got this request. Would you try to change the terms? Would you, let's say they wanted to take, a week of your time and pay you $5,000. Would you say, well, gee, I would much rather spend 3 days I need more money. I'm sorry, but I need more money. Could you even envision doing that?
No. I mean, in fact, this person is such a tremendous example for me of what it means to be an authentic person that, you can't put a price tag on it. It's invaluable. It's priceless. It's beyond measure.
So in other words, you would most likely accept the request and you would be honored to receive what they have to give. And you most likely would go above and beyond what was expected of you because you simply want to do that for that person. True?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So absolutely.
All right. Let's grind it home here. Is that person you?
Well, in my particular example, you got me because it wasn't me. My big fan that I am so I just admire this woman is Mother Teresa because I love what she's about. But certainly she would be some – I am no Mother Teresa, but I get the point. I get the point, and I tell you that's a great exercise. And I think if the listeners, caught themselves – and this is why you are who you are. I think the point is well taken, and that's good. So you go with that. It's true. Is that person you?
See, what it all boils down to is as you know yourself, as you know who you are, what you have, and how you can use what you have right now. Deb, I'm not talking about, and for those listening, I'm not talking about you need to run out there and get another degree or getting another. I want you to maybe, if anything, get a degree in yourself. And that's what Pay Me What I'm Worth is about, is you will become a doctor-level candidate of your own life. This book is not about me pontificating some sort of arcane set of rules where you have to follow. And what you just experienced in the first 15 minutes of our time together is exactly what my book is like. I'm asking you questions. I'm allowing you to go and create your own garden and hoe it the way you want to and toss out what you need to and plant what you need to. This is your work. And ultimately,
yes,
when and as you become that person that people go, wow, oh, my God, I want you on my team. It's highly unlikely they are going to try and cheat you or shortchange you. Highly unlikely. Did that make any sense?
It's very powerful. And for the people listening on, if you're not in the chat room, I do have the link up at www.paymewhatimworth.com. The book's on Amazon and many other locations. That's probably the most popular for most people. But I think that you also on some of your websites, and you have a few, you have some chapters available to read and some other ways that people can really investigate getting the book and looking at what it offers. But I think that what we want the people to understand is that this is not just something you read and put on the shelf. There's over 30 exercises similar to what you just shared with us. And that's what makes it real, so that people know this isn't just something that somebody else does. This is something that I can do in the now, and this is why it's real for me. And this is what I want. And then you handhold someone really through the entire process, don't you?
I do. And, in fact, I often equate myself to that guide in the foreign city that you've never been in. I mean, the foreign city is your own mind. I mean, if you stop and really go around and find out what you have in there, it can be kind of surprising. And it's often a case where, and now I realize this doesn't apply to you, Deb, or to anyone listening to this show. It's pretty rare that I run across people who have these choirs and committees in their heads known as perfectionists and judgers and, you know,
oh, no,
critics.
We don't have any of those.
I didn't think so. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of boring you here. But if there's one person listening who has that perfectionist in their mind, who has that critic, oh, God, blah, 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 who has that judge consuming your energy, I'm able to help you sit down with that part of yourself and say, you know, this isn't working for me. If you want to stay on board, you're going to have to check out this new job description I have. It's called Pay Me What I'm Worth.
Yeah. Why, so in your experience in giving these talks and working with people in the workshops that you do, what have you found the problem? The problem is clearly stated. People don't feel that they're worth as much as they are. And why do you think that that is? Why does that problem even exist? Because, you know, it's easy to think that somebody else has it really together, or somebody else is worth that amount, or somebody else is smarter or this or that than me. You know, why is it that someone is in that position to even have the problem of not feeling that they are worth the very best? Because they are them and unique and one of a kind. Is there any common thread that you see when you're traveling the world, Sol?
Yes, there's a horrific virus out there that is virtually undetectable until you become aware of it. And the faster you become aware of it, the more you begin to realize how quickly you need to vaccinate yourself against this virus. And that virus is called the comparison virus.
The comparison,
think about
compare
this.
And despair, that's a losing equation. Never compare.
Oh, completely, because you see, the comparison virus has a secondary virus known as the expectation virus. Are you familiar with that one?
Oh, unfortunately, yes, and I have a big medicine cabinet of safety vaccines for that one as well.
What I get to in my book is, first and foremost, stop, STOP, bold, flashing, underscore, in red, stop comparing yourself to anything or anyone, including who you were even yesterday. Why do you think I suggest that?
Well, because we are always changing in every single moment, our experiences, the things around us, and we're always evolving. We're growing in that garden of our life. And we have to have the hope,
yes,
that there's always something better around the corner. We're in process towards becoming and being and embracing. And when we know that it's a journey and it's an adventure that's worth our attention, and it's enjoyable, and it's positive, and no matter what happens to us, good or bad, each experience is bringing us something better. You know, it's giving us some truth and some honesty. It's helping us grow. People don't change the light because they see, they don't change because they see the light. They change because they feel the heat. And sometimes, you know, we can perceive in the moment something is tragic or bad or painful, but in hindsight, the person that we are going to be in 6 months or tomorrow or a year or whatever from now, we can look at that and say, thank you, God, for permitting that in my life. If not for that tragedy, I would never be in this relationship or doing this work or taking this risk. And, you know, sometimes it's just realizing that we don't have to have all the answers. I don't mean to be, you know, it just reminds me, because I love, you have a beautiful video for those that can go to Sol's website. He has a wonderful interactive, you feel like you're just having coffee with him in his living room in Hawaii about the birth of his book and the inspiration. And just, I love your gentle sharing of how you came to know with a peaceful knowing that you were going to be writing this book, but you just, you know, you didn't rush it, you didn't force it, it wasn't like a, you know, you didn't have the gun to the rose's head saying, bloom now. You know, you just said, okay, well, everything will appear as it should be. It, but you heightened your awareness so that you were aware and able to be led, you know, the divine leading, and you were open to that. And I think that's part of the process to being our best, is being open to the process. And the way that you describe it in your video is perfect. But, you know, I just get so excited with what you're doing, Sol, but you go ahead and please continue your thought process, but I just have to share that with the people listening, because it's a phenomenal example of what you're saying.
Well, you know, if this were a video call versus just audio, my face is so wrinkled up with smiling. A few more laugh lines. Yay. So you asked me for the themes, and the themes are, as soon as we can let go of being controlled by our own desire to compare. I mean, it's really difficult in the Western world, and I'm sure almost around the world, because literally every venue, what are we seeing? Oh, you need this. Oh, you need that. Boy, you're not enough of a person unless you have, and unless you're wearing this and eating this and doing that and seeing with that. Oh, it's like, wait a minute. Stop this. Let's turn all of that upside down. I don't need to pay attention to that. That's what I love about your work. Your work is equally important. In fact, your book should be read in tandem with Pay Me What I'm Worth, quite frankly. It really needs to be read in tandem at the same time.
The bookends that we'll have in the workshop down the road.
There we go.
Yep.
You know, for those listening in, I'm dripping on Deb to see if I could somehow possibly entice her to come over here to the Big Island where I do my retreats. And for 11 nights and 12 days, we will have a celebration of the work that we've done. Because you know what, Deb? At my retreats, you do the heavy lifting before you leave your home. The second you sign up, you start work. And then the retreat is actually the celebration of your work. We really polish it when you get here. Do you know of anybody else doing that?
No, I think the practical application with the experience and the intensity, I mean, I have a whole chapter, as you know, in just immersing yourself and surrounding yourself in transformation tools, because, you know, people watch ball games on TV, but they still buy those tickets and fight the traffic to be there in the presence, in the energy of all these people in the stadium. And, you know, if a baseball game's worth that, I think our life is worth that. I think we're worth that. And to be around other people, as you said, in those workshops where you're really dedicated to focusing on being your best and just knowing that you're going to be on a discovery journey, you know, your own discovery channel, is great. And just taking that commitment to say, I'm worth it to even give myself these 11 days to do this, to me, is already a huge hurdle that you've overcome, because instead of saying something else is worth my time, somebody else, I've got this commitment, it's the job, it's the kids, it's this, it's that, it's I have to, I should or would have, could have. No, you're stepping out, you're breaking the cycle, and all scientific studies say as soon as you do one thing different, anything that changes the pattern in your life will automatically ignite change and forward momentum in other areas of your life. Without even trying, this will happen. And I love that, because once our mind gets into break mode and pay attention mode, just like you're saying, stop comparing, once we do it in one area, in one example, we start doing it in other areas. Because it's like the radar, the spiritual radar's up and gets us going in the right direction. And That's why you'll have to. Now, how can people find out about your next? You have a workshop coming up. It's all on the website, Pay Me What I'm Worth, correct?
Well, actually, that's a separate site, and so that we kind of keep on target, I want you and I to do a workshop. So, listeners, if you would like Deb and I to start working with you the moment you sign up, maybe we'll plan something for April of next year. Just think about this. The second you sign up, Deb and I begin working with you via conference calls. So you get to know Deb and I, and you get to start to know all of your other participants in this retreat. And we're going to cap it at about 20 because I have found that we have the most fun. And the place that I use here on the Big Island is just, we make it ours. It's our private compound. So for October, November, December, January, February, March, possibly part of April, that's 7 months. Deb and I are working with you with our respective talents to help you totally reinvent yourself. Then when you actually get here on the island, not only do you know everybody because you've been working with everybody, but now we get to do some magical things. There's only 3 or 4 hours of the day that we're actually going to do what would be considered our work. The rest is play. And quite frankly, I consider all of it play. It's to me, so much fun. But what it boils down to is our goal in the time that we would work with you, and you need to let Deb know whether you want this. You will have to email or call Deb and say, Deb, when the heck is this bloody retreat, and let's get going.
Because we're worth that effort.
You know, I'm practical when it comes to retreats. Until I have 10 people say yes and they've made their deposit, nothing happens. I'm really quite tired of all these people who get really excited. Oh, yes, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I actually ended up in bankruptcy once because I fronted the money for a particular program that everyone just screamed that they wanted. And I ended up having to, you know, basically declare bankruptcy because no one signed up. I learned from that lesson.
I think that we all work together. And I think the practical side of things, that people understand that. But in the long run, you know, it's the big picture, and it's what we take away that we keep with us. It's like books. Obviously, I love a book because – you know, I love books. I wrote a book. You wrote a book. But when I buy a book, I look at, wow, I'm paying maybe $15 or whatever it is for somebody's life experience. You know, how many years did that person live to write 200 pages of whatever it is I'm reading? You can't find someone that's going to give you, you know, 30, 40 years of their life, 50, 60 years of their life, but you can certainly, you know, get the wisdom in those pages and learn from someone else. You know, we can't make all the mistakes ourselves, Saul. We can't make all the mistakes ourselves in one lifetime.
You so remind me of this yummy little story. It involves the movie The Secret. I'm sure you've seen The Secret.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I happened to be on a plane. I can't remember where I was coming from and going to, but I as I started chatting up the person next to me, this woman introduced herself, and lo and behold, she's the president of the distribution company for the movie The Secret. And when we started talking a little bit more and she got to know, you know, what I do and so forth and so on, she was really quite intrigued as to what I thought my opinion was of the movie. And I said, well, do you want the polite answer or do you want the blunt answer?
And what was the end of that story?
Well, you know, what reminded me of this story is I said, you know, The Secret reminds me of the illusion that a lot of those self-help programs on TV have, those makeover programs or those do-it-yourself programs. I mean, public broadcast has inspired many a debacle because I know there have been times I've sat there and watched one of those 30-minute shows where this master chef within 20 minutes' time whips up a banquet for 40 people based on 3 peas, 2 carrots, and a loaf of bread. It's so easy, right?
Yeah.
Or the master artist, or the master plumber, or the master anybody. I mean, within 30 minutes' time, 40 minutes' time, bada-bing, bada-boom, you've got the back deck, you've got whatever it is. What that show does not show you is the 30 to 40 to 50 years of experience like you were just talking about. That show doesn't show you the hundreds of people behind the scenes doing all that work. So I have to laugh and think about how many different tools got bought at the local hardware store based on one of these shows that, oh, you too can put your back deck on or add your own bathroom within a weekend. So I told this kind woman. Go ahead.
I was waiting to hear what you said to her.
I told this woman, I said, the secret works when you've done your work. You need a primer. You need something to become aware of the fact that until you've done significant personal awakening work, the secret may work, but for most people, they'll consider it a bunch of snake oil because it didn't work for them in the way that it's portrayed in the film. So where's the pre-workbook? Where's the primer? And she thought that was a brilliant idea. Would I be the one to write the workbook? And I said, sure, give me a call. Gave her my card, never heard back.
Well, I think it's in Pay Me What I'm Worth. And I think that, I think for anybody listening, and the first issue is knowing that there's something that you don't feel you're being recognized or you feel that you're worth what you truly are. And once that awareness has been accepted, and then looking at things that you suggest, just reviewing some of the things here, you know, the comparison. I think that that's the real line in the equation to make it reciprocal, either positive or negative. The comparison game is deadly. And that's something that we've been bombarded with in this society, and it's a natural consequence of aging. It's impossible to think that somebody isn't going to be, you know, exposed to that disease, should we say, to use your terminology. So then, you know, letting go of that comparison, letting go of that poison, letting go of feeling as though, you know, somebody in The Secret got that result, to use that example. What's wrong with me? Then we're ending up, it's counterproductive. Then it becomes this thing that's supposed to help me is now making me feel like a bigger loser. You know, what's wrong with me that I can't do that secret perfectly? Or what's wrong with me that, you know, it just doesn't work on, you know, HGTV, The Makeover. They do it in 30 minutes. Why isn't that happening for me? Or, you know, I'm listening to Soul and Deb, and why isn't that just hanging, you know, happening for me and it, when I'm hanging up the phone? And I think that we're here to say it through our experience and the strengths and the practical applications and the people that we've worked with is, you know, got to dump that junk in the head. That is the first thinking that has to go, is that somebody else has it so perfectly. And part of the good news is that the more junk you have, you know, the manure and the miracle and the fertilizer, you know, you can use that and transform it with these tools, doing these things, so that those things that maybe are not what you want in your life, or maybe those things that brought you to compare, brought you into a place where you didn't have the good self-esteem, you didn't feel like you were worth what you should be in all areas of your life, you know, there's an opportunity to use that very thing to bring you where you want to be. And the more you spend time on knowing who you are, what you're about, and what you want, then you can know what you want to get. You know, it's like going to the grocery store and just throwing a bunch of food in the carriage and just saying, oh, I wonder what I'm bringing home. You don't do that. You know, you don't feed your body like that. You just don't go to the grocery store and shove anything in there in aisle 4, take it home and say, okay, I've got my nutritional bodily needs met. yet I see people on a day-to-day basis, and it saddens me, and I'm sure it does you, that do that in their spiritual economy. And that's why, you know, they're buying the bad spiritual food, and then they're not having the good work to know that they're more than enough who they are and focusing on being the best them, who they are, getting around those people, getting, you know, going to the grocery store and getting those mind vitamins and those people and doing those exercising and getting into those workshops, surrounding ourselves with these good radio shows and feeding our soul. And once we're fed and strong, then the pay comes, the healthy relationships come. But we try to do these things backwards. And I think it's part of society that has you know, we bought into this lie.
Well, we've acquiesced to control. We've allowed ourselves to be controlled. I mean, quite honestly, one of the most dangerous people on the planet is a person who's awake and aware. And, Deb, I don't necessarily believe that most governments, let alone most businesses who are employing thousands of people, they want you awake and aware enough to do the job, but that's about it. Please don't question. Please don't poke around. Just do your job. You know, get your little salary. Go home. Be part of the 40-40 club, and we'll be happy. Have you heard that term before, Deb, 40-40 club?
Well, maybe not in the way that you're describing, so I'll let you define what that would be in the terms for our listeners.
All right. You know without a shadow of a doubt you're part of the 40-40 club if you are working 40 or more hours a week and you think you're going to have to work at least 40 years or put in 40 years or more of work before you can have the life that you want. Now, we've been sold that as being a productive citizen, and it is, and it's valid, and I'm not knocking that. What I am saying is you can do the 40-40 club on your own terms. You can do what you want, where you want, how you want to do it. And frankly, I mean, I have to fess up here. I mean, there's confession of the soul here. If the person I am today, Soul Dancer, sat down with Soul Dancer 25 years ago, like I warp back in time and I sit down over coffee with this 25-year-old Soul Dancer and I started talking to him like I'm talking to you now, I would have laughed you right out the door. I would have told you you're smoking something and like to try it, or either you haven't had enough meds or you've taken too many.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure that people listening can relate to that and understand that, you know, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm just not, I don't feel the same. I don't think the same. You know, the same things don't excite me or, you know, motivate me. And I think those are healthy changes to be aware of. I think that type of growth
This is along the lines of, you may hear, for those listening in, thank you for your time and listening, and you may think, wah, 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 we're talking this new agey, new thoughty, that's not part of my world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is. And the more you resist it, I resisted it wholeheartedly for many, many years. I thought it was a bunch of bull hockey. I'd listen to these motivational people on TV and think, oh, my God, what a cushy job. And then when I started recognizing how much I was being controlled by my own ego, by my own thought that, you know, I know best for myself. Well, to some degree, that's true. But when I start allowing the wisdom of people like Deb in my life and the wisdom that's in her book and the wisdom of the child playing out in the yard in front of me, and I watch how to remember how to play, when I remember the wisdom of drinking a glass of water every hour so that my brain can stay hydrated, so that I don't get fuzzy, I don't get angry, I don't get pissed off at someone for really something that, quite honestly, you know, get a clue, buy one if you need to. It's
right.
Those types
yeah.
of things that Pay Me What I'm Worth is designed, if you think about an hourglass. Open wide at the top, open wide at the bottom. You're going to go through a journey where you're going to collect a lot of information about yourself, and I'm going to invite you to create ground rules. We start out with creating ground rules. It must be imperative that you feel comfortable and safe in doing this work. Otherwise, don't do it. And those ground worlds are going to invite you to go from the outside of your world, your stuff, the stuff you can touch and taste and see and smell and hear. And then we're going to go into the inside of your world, and we're going to begin to poke around, what skills do you have? How are you using those skills? Do people know you have those skills? One of the biggest reasons why people are not paid what they're worth is because more often than not, they've hidden their talents. They've hidden their skills.
Yes.
People don't know.
Yes, and I have to echo that, because I think that that hooks into your original premise, and that's why the book is so awesome. If we are too busy comparing ourselves that somebody else has the right brain advantage and I have the left brain, or I should be more this or I should be more that, we spend all our energy doing that instead of focusing on, what am I good at? What did God give me as a good talent? What do I love? What are those ground rules? What are my skills? Then it doesn't become an arrogance in letting people know, oh, this is about me. This is the All About Me show. Because what you're saying is a different tune to the song. It's saying, wow, this is where I can help you. This is what, you know, was given to me as a gift from the universe. And this is what I celebrate, and this is what I focused on, because this is my gift, and I appreciate it, and I respect it, and I take time to nurture it and develop it. And it's a gift that I have that can help you, and then I naturally want to share that with you. And then it becomes a collaboration in life of meeting other people that you have an echo with that you can build up instead of tearing down, because that's where, you know, a lot of people in businesses that I work with, and I just visited one, believe me, you know, there's such an insecurity in the box, the four walls of who's going to be better than me. I have to tear this person down to build myself up. It detracts from all of these great things that you're talking about, you know, manifesting. And I just, I'm so passionate about that. Because we have to help each other. We need each other. You know, we need each other.
That's
what's so great.
That's why we do the master's groups. I mean, yes, you can buy this group. And by the way, if you do decide to get the book, thank you so much. I would highly recommend you come to paymewhatimworth.com and buy it through that site. You'll get the best quality of the book from that site. And then, you know, get involved in one of our master's groups, because here's why. That gift of perspective. I'm not talking about comparison. I'm talking about perspective. There's been multiple times where I've been on a conference call and people have gotten to know each other and someone's being particularly hard on themselves. Now, again, I realize, Deb, you are never really self-critical, and there may only be a couple people that listen to your show that really are self-critical. So this may not apply to you.
You are so good, soul. Gotta love that.
They'll say, now, wait a minute. You know, I've never met you in person, but, you know, here's what I've been hearing over the last few weeks or months, and you know, what you're saying just doesn't ring true to me. And a person from around the world who you may never, ever meet might just give you that enough of a gentle nudge to shift the way you think about yourself. That's the power of those master's groups. And the neat part is these are all self-paced. You call in when you're ready. So don't give me that excuse, oh, I'm too busy. It's like, well, if you're too busy to get paid what you're worth, I wish you well.
No, but, you know, that is exactly, and that is something that needs to be reinforced. There's nothing that you do in isolation. Hey, my best thinking got me here. My best thinking is going to keep me here type attitude. We need each other to get out of ourselves and look at ourselves more honestly. And when we're in a group like you have with the Masters group, and I encourage a lot of, you know, groups either that I'm working in or other free programs. I mean, there's all sorts of great groups, but to focus on, you know, pay me what I'm worth, and you have that opportunity. When you're committed with somebody else with accountability, studies show when you're accountable. That's why coaches exist, you know. It's that accountability. When we're accountable to say we're worth this and following up, it's more likely to happen. And then we have the follow-through. Until it becomes natural for us, we need to know that we have to set ourselves up for success in our own life, just like everything else we would set ourselves up for success with. And I think that's great that you have those call-ins at any special, you know, at any time. I mean, you really have no excuse because you're available constantly for all practical purposes.
What's fun here is a lot of times a connection will happen where there's such a deep wow. There's this, oh, my God. And like you said at the very beginning of the show, there are no accidents. The ability to connect with each other and to learn from each other, I think is why we're here, don't you?
Absolutely. And some of the best growth opportunities are not planned. We can't plan. You know, it's the divine appointment and intervention. You know, a lot of conventions and different groups that I go to, sometimes I get more from meeting someone in the hallway by an accident, meeting somebody through somebody else, and that ended up being the jewel in the crown of that experience. Did I anticipate that? No. But I think that what we're both saying and hoping that people listening understand is that whatever it is that you feel you're worth more in believing that you can manifest and achieve, if you feel it in your heart, then it's sure to happen. And if we just show up, if we show up at this radio show, if we replay this, if we show up with the book, if we show up at the master's program, if we show up with these groups, if we show up with resources, they're going to feed ourselves and keep ourselves motivated, and other people are going to help us on that journey, we will naturally succeed without a lot of effort. Just by being present, you know, I think that people don't believe that it can be as natural. Yes, it's work, but there's good work that makes you feel great. Like, you know, after running, I always feel great. I'm tired, but it's a good tired. And this is the same thing. It's a good tired because you know you've made a return on investment in the best investment you have, and that's you. What could be better than that? Wherever you go, there you are, soul.
So true. And in all fairness, we do have to look at balance. The first half of the book is all about you. It's all about you learning how to receive. The second half of the book is all about everyone else and how to honor everyone else's worth in the same format that you're honoring your own worth. Did that make any sense?
Yeah, because you can't have one without the other. And, you know, but I think it's a natural evolution. You have to start with what's in you. Do you have any, I can't believe that we only have 10 minutes left, Saul. Where does it go? Is it just, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Are there any examples of anybody that you can think of that, you know, somebody that, maybe just won the lottery. Say, let's take an example. You know, somebody just won $500 or $1,000 in the lottery. Let's say it's a financial win. You know, and somebody wanted to embrace the opportunity to apply some of these steps. What might you suggest? And if there's anybody that you can think of that you'd worked with in the past, a before and an after, so that somebody listening can say, yeah, I can see myself in that story. You know, I can see a piece of me in there. So it becomes real.
Well, I'll answer it along the lines of an email that I just got this morning from one of my students who was actually going for the certification program. For those people who really see what's hidden in this book, they recognize really it's a work from anywhere opportunity. They themselves were a retired teacher. They pretty much, at the initial stages of this, they thought that they were just doomed for years of clicking the clicker and watching TV and having those polite lunches and kind of fading into the next realm. And she started beginning to realize, wait a minute, there's so much in here. And I the email I got this morning, she says, "Soul, you have no idea how I have rebirthed myself. I am not a 72-year-old woman anymore. I have the opportunity to literally have the job I've always wanted to have, and I have held a lot of jobs in my life." I'm kind of paraphrasing a longer letter, but what really brought tears to me is one of the biggest sadnesses in my life is this notion of retirement, of this notion that we've got to put in our pound of flesh, and then hopefully, if we're lucky, we'll have a little flesh left to enjoy before we lose our flesh. And, you know, there's so much wisdom out there in people. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've done. You have experiences that are valuable that you can use to teach other people. And it is your job to do that. If you don't think so, then the next time you need help, the next time you seek assistance and someone isn't willing to give it to you, do kindly remember that you decided not to be of assistance at some point in time. What goes around does come around, don't you think?
Oh, it's, you know, you can call it the law of the universe. You can call it, you know, something on the golden rule that God has. There is no doubt, not maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but, you know, you can't possibly give something away that you first don't own. And if there's somebody that we meet in the day that's really angry and really saying some awful things, know first that that person has to grow that in the soil of their heart before it can ever come out of their mouth to hit your ears. But I think where people can take that path of not comparing and knowing that what comes out of somebody else's mouth is them and their journey, and what you see yourself as is something that has to be from within yourself, and not at the, you can't be a victim to everybody else's verbiage and what they're saying. And that's why your first point about, you know, knowing what you're worth, knowing who you are, not comparing, and letting go of that control and trusting that process and doing that work to change the ground rules. If you change the ground rules and you put yourself in a different category, you're naturally going to combine yourself with different results. And that's part of the process. And, you know, there's just no getting around. Whatever we do, whatever we give, will naturally come back to us, you know. And I think that people listening tonight have made that first step towards embracing the best person that they were and are created to be before they lose all the flesh, soul. Before the very end, you know? I mean, the very fact that we're alive means that there's still a mission for us to accomplish. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Right. Now, I don't, you know, if anyone is listening live, please do dial in at 347-637-1318. That's 347-637-1318. You want to make sure you mute your broadcast that's playing on the computer. But we definitely want to hear from you. We're running into that last 5 minutes of the show, and if you dial in beforehand, if we get into a really lively something, we might go a little longer, and you'll miss it if you haven't dialed in. But, Deb, as I conclude, I'd like to offer a really quick exercise on how we can get more attuned to be able to be balanced with giving and receiving. You game?
Please do. Love it. Love this stuff. Love the practical application. I love it like this.
Okay. So get comfortable. If you can, if you're in a situation where you can close your eyes, please do. Obviously, if you're listening to this on a podcast in the middle of a rush hour traffic, please don't close your eyes. But get comfortable. Just find yourself getting comfortable. And if that means you get to lie down or whatever it is that I want you to get comfortable with, I want you to be able to be completely relaxed. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to begin to take a deep breath in to the count of four. Now, before you do it, here's what I mean about the count of four. I'll count you down like this. One, two, three, four, and then I'll ask you to release that breath the same way. Four, three, two, and one. We're going to do three breaths, and on each breath that you take in and each breath that you release, I'm going to invite you to take in a little bit more and release a little bit more on each breath. So here we go. Getting comfortable, close your eyes. Slowly taking a breath in. You can breathe in through your nose or your mouth. It doesn't make a difference. So start your breath in now. One, two, three, four. Hold. Be aware of how you're feeling and now release. Four, three, two, and one. You just experienced balance. You could not breathe in and breathe out unless you did both. So let's try balancing it again, this time with a little more balance. Taking a little more breath this time, not something that's uncomfortable, just a little bit more breath. Breathing in now. One, two, three, four, and now release. Four, three, two, one. Now do a quick scan of your body. Just imagine if you were standing in front of a window and the sun is rising really rapidly. It's like it's scanning your body. You have this light scanning your body. What parts of your body feel comfortable, peaceful? What parts of your body are talking to you? And those parts of your body that are talking to you, you have some stiffness or some soreness in that part of your body. On this final breath that we're going to take, I'd like you to breathe in air to that. Just imagine breathing in air to that part that's talking. Let it take a deep breath as well. So here we go. Breathing in, one, two, three, four, and now releasing. Four, feel your shoulders relax. Three, feel your arms relax. Two, feel your whole body relax. One, just feel relaxed. Now, if you noticed, I counted more slowly each time, but it was the same count. The effort of this exercise is to recognize you cannot take in more than you can give out. However, you can expand your ability to take in more and give out more. That is the goal of Pay Me What I'm Worth. For you to be able to take in all of the abundance that's around you every minute of every day. And for you to be able to give in a way that you are not remotely worried that you will be giving away too much. Hopefully I didn't put Deb to sleep doing those exercises.
No, this is why you're the award-winning workshop speaker. You know, the practical applications that we can experience give us the hope and the knowledge that it's possible. And this helps us change those thoughts and those beliefs, to change those ground rules. And this is the beginning, and we've already begun just by doing this exercise. And I think it's just something that we all deserve to be the best person we were created to be. And I love that example to show it's not about having a limit. It's not about there's only so much we can take in and so much we take out. It's the amount. It's the changes. And I think that our listeners really got a great gift in having that exercise. That was just really great, Saul. And there's more of that where we just experienced it in your retreats and workshops, and hopefully the one we're going to do together in April. And just a real gift. And going through you know, what it is, the comparison disease, how to let go of that control, changing those ground rules, the exercises you just changed with us, the visualization for the garden, and get that book, the 33 exercises in your book, and then the program, put it all together, and it is possible to be the best person you were created to be. So is there anything that you needed to say in the last, we have like 57 seconds left to say to our listeners, any final thought?
Oh, well, first, my biggest final thought is thank you to you, Deb, and to thank everyone who's listening. The most precious resource I think we have is time, and the fact that you shared your most precious resource with us, I bow in gratitude.
Oh, my goodness. Well, on that note, there's nothing I can say except thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the Best People We Know show. Thank you, and God bless. Good night.